Okay, we are back. Thank you. And I think on your desk now you have a presentation from Holt Architects. Graham Gillespie, welcome. Anna Rell, take it away.
Thank you. Hi. Graham Gillespie from Holt Architects. Myself are here today to bring you up to speed on the Human Services Annex building renovation project. And it's actually, I just was looking at my notes, actually almost a year ago, December 21st of last year, this legislature approved the purchase of the Carpet Bazaar building. And so we're here before you almost a year later to bring you up to speed on what we've done over the last year and also go over the project drawings and also the project costs, hopefully to get approval to authorize an increase to the bond for this project so that Holt Architects can move forward with finalizing design and getting Office for the Aging into the Human Services Annex building by late spring, early summer of next year. The building was actually purchased, and we closed on this, the building there that you see on the slide presentation, February 22nd of this year. We then sent out requests for qualifications for architects and received two responses, and Holt and the other firm were interviewed, and we selected Holt to start design. We gave them the notice to proceed in early June. However, we really didn't start any design until early September, as you recall, because of the vacating or the prospect that there's space at the health department may become vacant. We then looked at the possibility of putting Office for Aging there, so we held up design until September of this year. So we're before you today to give you an idea of what we've done since September in meeting with Office for the Aging and also with the Community Justice Center programs, the day treatment and or family treatment and day reporting programs. So we're going to go through the slides. At the conclusion of the slide presentation, we're going to focus on the spreadsheet that was handed out earlier and talk about the project costs. And in the packet also there's an agenda item to also increase the bond for this project from $750,000 to $1,175,000. So at this point I'll turn the time over to Graham and we'll go through the slide presentation.
Thank you, Aurel. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for this opportunity to update you on what we've been up to. I think everybody is familiar with the Carpet Bazaar building, but just to put it into context, there it is right there with Salvation Army Community Center next door, Shortstop Deli across Seneca Street, Family Med across State Street, the Tompkins County parking property just to the north of the building, and the alleyway separating the building from the adjacent property, which we'll talk about in a second. The building as it stands today, basically a brick box, the front of it being opened up with storefront for display, some other punched openings, or larger openings actually. The garage door bays in the back, of the six of them, five were filled in with block, and the last one there is still a garage door bay. But basically a brick box, a kind of little brick box. This is a metal panel frieze, if you will, that goes around the three sides of the building. Very simple, utilitarian-type construction. From the back, the north side, again, this is just the parking area in the back. There's a one-door access now. It's that last garage door bay that remains. This is the alleyway. It's there's an easement or right-of-way for access to parking for the adjacent residences there. It's basically just a plain block building. They didn't even return the brick around that side.
And the building is 45 years old. It was built in 1966.
So what we do in the concept and schematic design stage is we were asked to come up with a plan that would house COFA's program of about roughly 4,000 square feet. Initially, it was intended, the building was intended to also house Human Services Coalition. That was changed sometime during concept design, and we were asked to look at phase two occupancy by the Center for Community Justice, Community Justice Center, I'm sorry, CJC. We approached the building. It's a long, kind of narrow building. Both programs have similar spaces in that they have sort of support spaces, small support cellular spaces, enclosed offices, and then open office areas as well as larger conference and program spaces. Because the alleyway is the property line is right on the alleyway, we initially looked at making some openings there probably to try to get some natural light, but that was going to be very limited. So it made sense to layer this building because it's so narrow across that dimension. It made sense to put the sort of cellular spaces, the ones that don't need light, against that back wall, and then put the enclosed offices in another layer on top of that, and then position the open areas and the larger spaces on the Albany Street side with the intention of taking this west wall and opening it up using the existing bays, the six that are existing, and reopening the infill, and as we call it, it was block infill, just punching some more openings. The idea we were going to try to get as much natural light through the space, through the open office areas, and then over to the enclosed office areas. If we had more a different configuration of the building itself, maybe it would have been more square, for instance, we might have done a different layout. But this one seemed to really lend itself to this layering for both programs, and for actually for just about any office type occupancy, especially with a human services occupancy, where you do need some number of enclosed offices for privacy. So I'm going to flip back and forth here a little bit. This is COFA, and what we try to do is lay out the spaces so that when we get to CJC, a lot of those same spaces are able to be used for the second program, and it worked out fairly nicely. Again, I'm going to go back. You can see a lot of these spaces, you know, even their open office.
You have this in your handout. You can flip back and forth in your handout, too.
So with a minimum of additional walls and some reconfiguration, we're able to accommodate both programs fairly nicely. This second phase obviously has the build-out for the rest of CJC in the north part of the building. Under COFA, it's intended to be either shell space for another program. Sustainability Center was mentioned as a possible, but it could be other functions as well. We do need to have access to the mechanical room, which is a mezzanine. So that's where we were through concept design and schematic design. We had some ideas about the outside of the building, trying to enhance the entrance recognition. We were looking at opening up a little bit more of the west wall with enhanced glazing. Anything we do, putting back in terms of windows or envelope, trying to enhance the energy conservation features of the existing envelope. The roof is fairly new, so that was going to stay. It also has an old roof underneath it that has some asbestos in it, so we were trying to just leave that, minimize any penetration through it to reduce any cost. So some idea of, again, of what we were looking at trying to develop for a new entrance for COFA.
I got a quick question. In
sure.
The COFA configuration, is there space that's usable for some other function or not? I mean, I know when we were going to put in the Sarah Hood, Human Services Coalition, for reasons that I've forgotten, we're not doing that anymore, but is there space that could be used for some other program? Because
yes.
It looks sort of like it's all used, if I look at this.
Cool. Okay. Sure. COFA goes to this line right here. There's a second means of egress for COFA. It's about 4,000 to 6,500 square feet of the building.
Okay.
This area here is shell space right now, waiting for an additional program, either temporary or long term.
Oh, okay, so it's that big block on the right hand side is still open space. Okay.
That's yes, cool. Yes.
Thank you.
So where we are now, we just talked about complete design development, and this is the plan now for COFA. CJC has been put aside for the time being. We're just doing development and documents for COFA for the first phase. And as you can see, the plan is very similar to the one that we had in the schematic concept design phase. There's just some differences in terms of where we located the reception and waiting for COFA. That had to do a little bit more with Flo and working with Lisa and how her program laid out. But we still have the settler support spaces back in this area. We've included one toilet room in the back that COFA does not need, with the idea that it will be needed for whatever goes into this space as a co-tenant with COFA. Developed more of the mechanical space. This gray box you see here is the footprint of the mechanical room up above. The mechanical room is in a mezzanine that's accessed by this stair here. This is electrical room down here and some IT. That's still being worked out a little bit, but those are all the spaces that we need to accommodate. Janitor's closet and the shell space toilet room. In phase two, this space here will become a second testing toilet room for CJC. So again, we have a little bit of work to do here, close off some of the space for now, or open it up for later for CJC. There's not a whole lot of extra walls we need to do, except when we actually get into the shell space and lay out the rest of their program. They have a kitchenette, a couple more offices, and then some shared classroom space. Yes, Pat?
Does this design take into consideration accessibility, handicapped accessibility? And the reason I ask is that it's hard to tell sizes from this design, but the toilet area doesn't appear to be accessible, and I'm just wondering if it is.
Yes, it is, and it's required by code. If it's hard to see with all the writing on the space, but that little circle that's there, that's a sort of universal symbol for accessibility, and that's a turning radius, the 5-foot turning radius of a wheelchair. So that has to be provided in each space.
And in that back bathroom too?
In the back one also? That doesn't look like it would be.
Yes, that should be. I think I can just make out the circle
right
in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one other question about accessibility. And I don't know whether what is being planned for the doors and locks and that kind of thing. But I know accessibility here at the courthouse is there's no keypad for the handicapped entrance. Mm-hmm. So I would just like to request that whatever method of access is available to other users, that a similar arrangement would be available for people that use the handicapped entrance.
Sure. Yeah, well, I think we'll get into a little bit more detail on some of the entrances as we move forward into the discussion. But certainly the intention, is, certainly with COFA as a tenant, the intention is to make it as accessible as possible. I mean, again, certainly we have the design to the code, which requires a certain level of accessibility for everybody.
There's code and then there's practical.
for sure.
Usage. And for sure. I would like to take that step that says that we make it, especially given that there may be a higher proportion than in the general population of people who need a handicapped accessible means of getting around the building.
Sure. So. Yes. Understood.
Just reiterate some of the other features. The open up the west wall again for try to get that light back down into the building. We did take the condensing unit for the air handling unit and put it down on grade, surrounded by a security fence. That was again to try to minimize penetrations of the roof membrane. We do have access through that area into the mechanical space so that maintenance people can access that from outside, do not need to disrupt programs in the building. Right now, we're showing this vestibule entrance for staff on the back side. That is identified as an alternate. We'll go over that when we get into the budget a little bit more. But otherwise, fairly conventional construction, gypsum partitions, hollow metal doors and frames and wood doors, carpeting throughout most of the flooring and an acoustical ceiling. And on the exterior, you know, that's taking the existing garage door out, opening up some of the infilled areas, now replacing it with a window wall so that we have clear glass on the top. We have film on the glass at that level so that people that are working aren't getting the feeling that passersby are looking at their laptops. And then just filling in underneath that with a durable, in this case, brick finish as a knee wall. And we're able to, with some of these moves, we're able to improve the envelope also in terms of energy conservation. This is some three-dimensional renderings of how that might look. And then in the building section, if this is the Albany Street side where we're punching the larger windows in, and this is the alleyway side where we have more of the cellular spaces and the enclosed offices. The large idea here is we're trying to really bring that daylight into the big space and then borrow it for the enclosed offices. That's sort of how that whole layout works out there. This is an alternate with this, what we call a cloud center, but again, trying to bounce as much of that light back deep into the building. Some interior renderings of what that might look like if we're standing at the vestibule or at the reception, looking how it goes back into the building, how open that is. The building is not so that it has a high structure, so we're able to have the ceiling up high, which also allowed us to raise those windows up as high as they are. Right, that level there is 7'2", which is your typical door height is. We're able to get another 4+ feet. And really open that space up. Yeah, so driving that light in, trying to make it as pleasant a space as possible. And this is the treatment on those office walls where we have some clear story transom windows, again, and some glass in the doors to get the glass into the enclosed offices.
Is that facing where the doors are there? Is that facing west? Or where is that facing?
Yes. So this is that reception area, which is right here, and so there's one of the big windows on the west wall.
But the big windows are on
your left.
On
right.
The left, and that's west.
Yes.
So the doors on the right are that's just interior doors on the right.
Right.
Okay, but the glass above them, the transom-like glass windows, is that? Are there exterior windows beyond that let light in there? Is why
on the other side of those offices?
Yeah.
No, Pam. That was back up to the.
It's the alley.
It's right. The alleyway, right? But I just didn't know if you had some eyebrow windows on the exterior wall in the alleyway, so that you would just get light coming into the building. That's all.
That's a fire lane, and actually our property line is that exterior wall in the alley. And because of just value engineering, there were things that in the initial concept plan, the earlier ones that you saw, we wanted to put glass block there to bring in some light, but those things were removed as we came to this, the design development, just because we were trying to save some money on the project. I still would like to put it in there, but we'll see. But at this point, it's not in there.
Okay.
So what we were looking at is this. That's this wall right here.
Okay.
So,
got it.
So there's a whole other layer of space behind it that prevents us from putting the windows also. So just to reiterate where we were at with the design development, the basic program in terms of open and closed offices and all the support spaces for the two programs, COFA and CJC, some modest site development work, and then the building itself, the envelope in particular, trying to improve that wherever we can, replacing the existing glass with new terminally broken frames and lower value windows, and put the mezzanine up on a mechanical up on a mezzanine on the second floor to try to free up as much of the ground floor space as possible. And then the mechanical systems, in concert with county standards, what you've done in other areas to try to maximize efficiency and comfort. Plumbing is basically the new toilet rooms, the kitchenettes to support the programs. And we do have a new electrical service going to the building, and it's relocated from the space where it is now to over to where the mechanical room is, and then the basic systems that we need to provide for egress, emergency lighting, and so forth.
Now, what I wanted to highlight and emphasize is that these design standards, what you see on this page, are consistent with what we've done on all of our capital building projects, new construction, renovations, going back to the Human Services Building built in 1997. So we're not putting in anything that is of a higher standard or a lesser quality than we have in any of our buildings. Now, as we get further in and we look at some of the spreadsheet, we've backed out things that are not consistent with what we've done with other building projects. I always look at, you know, providing equity as far as design and the standards in all our projects, especially in this project where we're bringing more fragile population, our elderly, into this building. So I just want you to know that there are no frills in this building. Even those block windows that I wanted are out of there. Really, I think the only thing that is probably a nice architectural feature is that curvilinear cloud that Graham mentioned. And that's currently out. That's what we indicate as an alternate, which means it's not in our base bid. But if our bids come in low, these are items that we can add back into the project. So when we refer to alternates, those are items that we've backed out currently out of the base bid, but that we could put back in. Also, I think I want to emphasize that the earlier drawings that were conceptual drawings, we had met with Lisa Holmes from Office for the Aging and Pat Buchel and Patricia Carey from DSS and from probation. They have the two programs for the Community Justice Center, the family treatment and day reporting. So we met with them in the building and went over kind of a layout of the floor plan. And it was great that both programs overlaid very easily. And also, there's that flexibility that we could put other programs in that space. There's probably a 50-50 split between enclosed offices and open workstations in that floor plan, which lends itself, if in the future it's decided that the Community Justice Center, you know, finds a better location, that other departments can go in there or programs if we find something better for COFA as well. So we put in the flexibility in this design. And I think it was harder to see, I think, in the overlays. I think in your handouts you may be able to compare the two side by side. But there's very little modifications to the COFA space to ready it for Community Justice Center if we do that in the near future. So I think if we were very lucky that we were able to come up with two floor plans that overlaid very easily. And so I'd like to thank Lisa and Pat and Patricia for their cooperation as we worked with them. We didn't give them a lot of time. We gave them about, I think, 2 weeks. to review the designs and come up with comments on that so that we can move forward.
Will?
Are we using the existing mechanical systems, or so they'll all be new? And in our effort to save money, are we skipping on the energy efficiency of those, or are they as good as could be?
You'll see it in the spreadsheet, but the base standards here are a variable air volume system. It would qualify for LEED. That was one of the requirements for this project, is that it would be designed to meet the LEED certified level, which is consistent with the last buildings that we've done. And the system that is proposed in the original scope is an energy efficient system. It provides better comfort, better control and flexibility. And so it's consistent with all the buildings that we've done since 1997. There is a possible reduction that would bring us down to a much lower quality system that would result in higher costs to maintain and operate, less comfort, and less control. But what's currently in the original scope is an energy efficient system.
And sort of related, is this one of the buildings we're considering for the solar panels?
Yes. Yeah. One of the reasons, that's good that you raised that, Will, is that the mechanical room is inside the building. I always prefer putting mechanical rooms inside the building, if at all possible, rather than on the roof. Put it on the roof, you have to put structural reinforcement. Also, Graham mentioned that there's asbestos under the new roof, so any penetrations that we'd have to make, we'd have to abate. That would add cost to this project. And also, we looked at this building for putting the solar array, a 25-kilowatt solar array. So because of that, and that building is one of the ones that was selected for the solar array, it takes up almost three-quarters of the roof. So we put all the mechanical systems in the building in a mezzanine. And Graham mentioned on the north end, the condensing unit, which is a cooling side of our mechanical system, is also on the ground so that the photovoltaic panels can go up on the roof.
And final question. You mentioned the age. I assume from the bays that it might have been a garage originally or something like that. Are
yes.
we confident that there is no existing tanks, storage tanks, or whatever that might pose a problem?
Yes. Prior to purchasing the building, we did a phase one and phase two environmental analysis of the building. We did borings on several locations, and so we're confident that there's nothing of of pollutants below the surface. But yes, we were concerned because of lifts in the bays that there might have been hydraulic fluid leakage in those areas.
Thank you.
Carol?
In the original estimate, the $750,000 that we had approved, that shell space that was defined, was that finished or unfinished? I mean, suitable for finishing? At what level interior finish was that going to be?
That was at a lower level, and we would have been reimbursed for the cost of some of those improvements because the tenant that was proposed for that space was an agency that was currently paying rent, or the county, I think, provides funding that I think is used in some and to a great, I think, for rent. So the plan was that the level of improvements would be at a lesser quality in that space, but also that program or agency would be paying rent, or that we would reduce our funding to that agency to offset the cost of those improvements.
So that was worked into that price estimate?
Yes, and that's why it was a lower number.
And then when you talk about LEED equivalent, I assume we weren't going to pay the extra to actually get certified.
Correct.
What level LEED?
LEED certified level,
certified.
Which is the basic level.
It's the basic, okay. And then you're going to talk a little bit more about to what we attribute the price increase?
We're, I think at this point, mm-hmm. I think ready to talk about the project costs. So I'll turn it over to Graham, and then we can talk about those things as well.
Could I just ask one quick question before we go into the budget stuff?
Yeah, and Peter and then Pam. Peter had his hand up.
Yeah. I had a couple of questions, which you probably can't give me precise answers, but just order of magnitudes. How much money is it costing us to make this dual design? That is, if we said in the very beginning we only want it for COFA or we only want it for community justice, how much would less would that cost? That was number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, I really like that cloud. I wondered, it sort of breaks up the, you know, an ordinary institutional kind of building. I just wonder how much does that cost? And the third question was, suppose we'd started with an empty lot instead of the building. How much more would it have cost us to build the whole thing the way we liked it? So just orders of magnitude on that,
sure.
If you can.
Sure. Let me take the last one first. This is working out to be about 170 a square foot. If we're talking new construction, I usually start at 225, depending on how big the building is, all the way up to 300. For an office building, I think 300 is not out of the realm of possibility, depending on, you know, again, how big. If you need elevators, that sort of thing.
Right.
More staircases. There's no staircases here, obviously, other than the ship's ladder to the mechanical room. So if you could build new, certainly much, you know, much more of a premium. You have a very, you know, a good shell, a good roof, a good structural system. Mostly what we're doing here is interior partitions and finishes. We're doing a little bit more on the exterior than probably was envisioned at first, partly because, again, trying to get that light into the space. We've looked at reducing that as one of the cost savings, and that certainly we can do that and still achieve what we want to in terms of getting that the light and the daylighting and daylighting contributing to the lead effort, obviously. So that, you know, for new construction, the answer to that. Actually, on this spreadsheet, we've identified under additional alternates that little table down in the lower left-hand corner, the cloud ceilings, roughly 7,000. You know,
that first yellow line there on lower left box.
Yes.
Between 7,000 and 8,000.
Yeah, that's worth it. Yeah.
But not a lot of money. Yeah, and what we'll find is a lot of these items that aren't a lot of money by themselves, but there's a few that accumulate, and probably we'll look at some of the ones that are a little bit more, maybe five figures, that have much more of an impact. But those additional alternates were actually ones that we identified after the concept design and schematic design phase, thinking that we were already pushing our budget. So we sort of came up with that list as a sort of really easy one. We could either add later, or the space could function fine without it. Some of it would be nice to have, but we just wanted to get some things out there. Then when we actually ran in design development a line item, a cost estimate, we came up with this second column of costs, and we should, and for this purposes of this discussion, we broke it down: general pre-construction, interior and shell, interior fit out, which is the furnishings, and then billing systems, which is mostly the mechanical, electrical, plumbing systems.
Yeah, those are the blue lines that you see there, those four blue lines.
Right.
So are the main categories.
Yeah, it's sort of put it in kind of gross terms. I mean, the interiors and shell are what we just talked about, the partitions and so forth. The line items that you're seeing in the left-hand column are all potential reductions. And this third column places costs associated with those line items. What we were trying to do is get to a point where we could come up with a total at a little escalation and come up with a potential cost savings with some of these items taken out. Then we went to a committee and had a long discussion about what exactly are these items, what is the impact to the overall design, operation, and so forth. With these impact categories, you know, whether it's program, lead related, accessibility,
issue. We lumped security, serviceability, and maintainability into one category. Aesthetics and architecture and acoustics sort of in the second category.
But
we
try, Graham,
yes.
Let's go back to Pam's question. You had another question, Pam?
Well, I just had a question. It's not a money question. That's why I was trying to slip it
right
in there before you got to that.
Okay.
I'm sort of surprised that there are so many meeting rooms. I mean, you have 8 meeting rooms, and I'm assuming that's in addition to office space for the people who work there.
I think a lot, and Lisa might talk to us a little bit more, but in terms of this space here, that's sort of their, that's equivalent to their resource room right now.
Right.
If you're looking at some of these other,
yeah, the 100 square feet, 100 square foot, 120 square foot, 128 square feet.
All right, those are all offices.
Yes.
Those are offices?
Yes. Yeah. Those are all offices.
So that's
either
a manager. That's a manager.
Oh, manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's a manager.
It's probably not that clear.
Okay.
Personnel workroom administration.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And to get back to Peter's first question on the difference between program and development for COVA versus CJC, the program elements that CJC has that are not in the COVA program were a couple of additional testing toilet rooms, one of which we have included in the design right now, again for that large shelf space, and figuring it's going to be needed whenever that gets used. There's a kitchenette that requires some plumbing to go along with that. And then there's additional office space and some classroom space, which actually is not in the course right now. When that ever happens, that'll be a small secondary project to fit that out. The premium, if you will, to do the two programs, when I looked at it in terms of, again, these toilet rooms, the kitchenette, you know, figuring about $10K each of those. The North Vestibule for the staffing, though, is an alternate right now, is another $40K, so that's what another reason we identified it as a possible pullout. If you look at the mechanical system, even though we need a mechanical system for whatever goes in there, controls, anything along that line for the space, we're coming up with a maximum a range of about 100 to maybe 125K. Of the $400,000 to $500,000 difference, it's only a fraction of that. We did look at, and the committee did query us on that. Would a different layout have worked much more efficiently? And if you think about that, COFA has 2/3 of the square footage, the 4,000 square feet. There weren't too many other layouts that we could have made to work. We looked at trying to minimize the plumbing run, for instance. Remember, the plumbing is all along the alleyway wall. Sure, we could have possibly changed that, probably at a savings of maybe 10 to 15K, something along that line. Again, it's not a whole lot of premium because the programs are very similar in terms of the nature of the spaces.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Graham, may I just ask, I wasn't following the whole discussion, but you did include the notion of having to move the mechanicals upstairs in order to accommodate CJC, because
sure,
as was said at a recent meeting, that's the only way we'd be able to fit CJC in there. What is that, 20 grand or something like that?
It's about 15, right.
So is that 125 include that, or would that be in addition?
Well, okay, that's an interesting point, because if you want that space for anybody, you need to move it up. So, yeah, you could say that it's CJC related if you need that extra square footage.
Thank
if you,
you
put somebody else, if HSC had needed less square footage, you could possibly put that back down on the floor. The other thing that it does is, you know, it gives you the maximum flexibility by putting it up for any tenant that comes in later. I think I got to everybody's question so far. So, again, this column was identifying the potential deducts, and we went to committee and really hashed out the different line items, trying to assess what the impacts were, what would be acceptable to bring forward to the legislature, really scrutinizing if the impact had anything to do with LEED and achieving that status. And you can see the explanation on the right-hand side where we think some of those impacts are and what and that's what the committee was actually looking at in terms of making a recommendation to take or not take the different line items.
Graham, let me hold up. The budget committee had the resolution the day before capital plan had the resolution. Budget didn't have all this detail and information, but did consider and pass the resolution. Capital plan had this full presentation and discussion. So.
So, in the short of it, out of the 270 or 271,000 potential deducts that we looked at, we felt comfortable recommending something on the order of 109,000 after we kind of vetted all the different line items, which resulted in a reduction of the 1.2 rounded the 1.3 that we started with down to about 1.2 as a total.
Now, I color-coded it to help it view at least on the screen. You have it before you on the spreadsheet, but on the lower right, we have the committee I guess restorations by impact, functional impact categories. The orange is what would affect program delivery. And so the only item as far as a reduction that would affect program delivery, and it's really for future tenants, be it Community Justice Center or others, that go into that space because by putting the mechanical spaces, bringing it down from the mezzanine onto the ground floor, which is really prime real estate, then that would reduce the square footage that we could either lease out or that another program could occupy. The green, there's a lot of green there. Those are items that would have, you know, impact our ability to obtain LEED. Without those, there's really no way that this building could get be designed to meet LEED certified level. And then the pink are items that either affect security, serviceability, or maintainability. None of those were really restored, and they're fairly minimal items. The lavender are items that are really have no impact. Those are additional savings that we saw and to the project. The light blue is accessibility. And, Pat, that's the one item that you were talking about. That item is really automatic operators for the entrances. It's not a requirement by code, but because of the nature of the clients that would be, you know, visiting this building, we felt it was important to put that in there. But we put it there as a possible reduction. It's about $15,000. We were asked to reduce the project down to around $1 million. So myself and Graham spent several nights working on that, and we basically pulled out as much as we could from the project cost that wouldn't have a significant impact on program delivery. You know, it'd still allow both COFA, CJC in the future, or any other department to still, you know, deliver their services in that space. So, but the accessibility is one that, as I said, we would like to put back into the project. The committee, Capital Plan Review Committee, did actually recommend restoring that line of accessibility. The yellow is really the one that impacts the department the most, and it's really more of an aesthetic thing, but it's furnishings.
every project that I've been involved in over the last 18 years, the county has always funded the purchasing of furnishings for every department that goes into a new building, whether it be renovated or new construction. This one, we had a budget and allowance for that, but we reduced it by 75% to try to bring that number down to $1 million. I think Lisa was very gracious in saying she could live with that. I would like to restore that. If on bid day the bids come in lower and we have some excess money, to try to restore some of that allowance for furnishings. But basically all they have left is about 22,000 in furnishings, and we would then work with the department to see where they would want to, you know, put those new furnishings, be it in waiting areas or areas that are visible to the public or in their offices.
Morrell, I have a question. So the box on the left, additional alternates.
Yes.
Those are not now in the 1.17.
Correct. Those you would have to add to either the original scope column or the revised scope column.
Okay. Thank you. Pat and then Will.
And the ones on the right are or are not included at this point?
Yeah, the box on the lower right is first is a legend to help you understand the kind of the color coding
right.
of the different impact functional impact categories. But also on the far right of that box, those are the amounts that were restored by the Capital Plan Review Committee meeting by those impact categories. And you will note that the last three we didn't restore those amounts for security, for aesthetics, and for the impact. So those amounts were not restored.
I think I misunderstood something, because I thought you said that the accessible doors are not currently included.
The committee currently restored that back into it, into the project. So the column that says total cost revised scope does include that accessibility feature. But was originally a potential reduction. It's currently at $1,177,000. It does include that accessibility feature, the automated doors. It includes all the lead items, and it includes the program delivery, basically keeping the mezzanine for the mechanical space.
So what we'll be asked to vote on tonight includes those revised scope?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you can vote on that, or you can vote on the full original scope, which was the original 1.286.
Okay. So I have Will, Dave, Carol, Dooley.
Thanks, Martha. Carol, please quickly remind us the significance of the lead components. Does this qualify us for state or federal assistance in any way, or is it just the right thing to do?
There are programs in the NYSERDA that can help us achieve that, and that's certainly something we can try to do. I think the important point is, especially on the categories down here, the county, the approach here is not to go after the plaque necessarily, but try to gain the efficiencies, the cost savings that doing these things allow us to garner. So that's really what we're really trying to achieve here. It's also the right thing to do, but I think what we're trying to include is long-term sustainability, long-term lowered operating costs, with some of the categories or line items up here, especially daylighting, that's harder to quantify, but that's always an approach to try to make the space better for the people, make them more efficient, make them happier as they're working. It brings their work product up. So there's that aspect that we're trying to get also. Thank you.
Dave?
Yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my head around the return on investment for the lead items. You know, is it a 5-year payback, 10-year payback, 15 or 20 or something like that?
It depends on the system, Dave. With mechanical systems, they tend to be in, again, in, depending on with a VAV system, the variable air volume system versus a constant volume system, that could possibly be in the 10 to 20 year. It's out, because it's incremental, because it's a smaller building. With larger systems, the incremental difference can be much greater. The difference between the air handling unit, in this case, for 6,000 square feet versus one for 20,000 square feet, you would see a whole lot more, probably a whole lot more efficiency over that entire building. This one's a much more smaller increment. Some of the other items, again, the daylighting and so forth, there's no probably measurable impact on that other than, again, if we can make people more efficient, cut down on absenteeism, anything like that, that's where you're going to get the payback. But, again, that's harder to quantify.
I can understand the reasoning behind having more natural light and so on and so forth. Sure. That makes very good sense. But, $130,000, I'm just trying to figure out, is that going to take us 10 years to bring it back or a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds
like more to me.
Yeah, I mean, aside from just the efficiencies of, the equipment operation and such, it's also the service and maintenance of those systems. Our staff are trained in, VAV systems, air handling units, and controls. It reduces by putting in the VAV system, the air handler, reduces basically our labor on these systems. They perform better. The original reduction was basically to eliminate VAVs to go to a constant volume. Constant volume means you're always bringing the same amount of air. With a VAV, you can modulate the amount of air into the space based on the number of people in the space. So you're saving energy. On a winter day, we have to bring fresh air into a building. If you bring the same amount of cold air, you have to heat it. You're basically wasting a lot of energy in heating that same volume of air. With a VAV, you can modulate the amount of air that you're bringing in for outside air, fresh air, because you have variable speed drives. But also, by eliminating the controls on this project, would require our staff to respond to that building to make adjustments. They basically have to go there and make adjustments to the equipment or thermostats. With controls in it, we can do all of that from our office. I can do it from my computer, and our technicians can make adjustments. Plus, we can optimize the performance of the equipment. So it does save money. I think the 20-year payback is probably on the high side. I'd probably say more of the 10 to 15, closer to the 10, because of those operational efficiencies as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with the kind of control you're talking about, so I know what you're talking about. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Cal?
Yeah, a couple of things. I didn't quite understand the answer about the additional alternatives on the lower left. Those costs would be in addition to anything that's on the chart above?
Yes.
Okay. And then, I don't know if this is the right place, but while we have you up there, there's a reference in the resolution to the project consisting of replacement, rehabilitation, and reconstruction of the facility. Which part of this constitutes replacement?
I think that's standard language for bond. And so I didn't draft that. I think the bond attorneys drafted that.
Bond counsel drafted that. Yeah, it's to make sure they capture everything that could happen in this capital project in the language of the legislation, so you don't necessarily partition these into those categories. It's just standard legal language from the bonding.
So, but is any of this replacement of something in this building?
Mechanical system. The existing mechanical system is not appropriate for what you're putting in there. So that's all coming up.
Okay. And then if we were to just fit out the space that we know we need now and wait, what's the increment that it would cost us more in the future, in the future year, whether or 6 months or whenever it is that we come back and need to fit out that back space once we know for sure what would be going in there? Are we saving something by doing it all now, even though we're not sure what's going in there, versus just doing what we had set out to do before?
We're not doing it all now. I think in what we've shown, that shell space isn't fully developed. It'll have drywall. An alternate here shows the last
yellow line in the alternate lower left is acoustical ceilings in that shell space. There'll be lights in that shell space. There'll be, you know, sheetrock around the perimeter. There'll be electrical outlets. There'll be a floor there. So it can be used as an open space with workstations, but it's not really fitted for a department. So that will be an incremental cost in the future that's not reflected here. We have done some things in that shell space. Graham mentioned we put in a bathroom, but beyond that, we haven't put in any partitioning there because it's unclear who will ultimately go into that space. It may be Community Justice Center, or it may not be.
Wait. So go back to the diagram of the two spaces, the COPA and the CJC.
That's Community Justice Center.
Right, and then the one before that. So for the price that's being proposed now, we get this with the bathroom.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the initial...
But with an empty... But not just a shell, but a finished shell.
Yeah, I mean, that was an early conceptual design plan. The one that these numbers are based on is this floor plan, which you still see the shell. You see the bathroom on the lower part there. There's, a janitorial closet. But really, the bathroom is really the only space that would serve the shell. But the shell has all drywall around the perimeter. The floor has a floor, has lights in it and outlets on the perimeter walls, but it doesn't have a suspended ceiling.
Okay, and then the next one, or the one that's in our packets, shows the space divided up. That one.
Yeah.
So what would it cost additional above this to build that?
That's roughly, I think, the shell space it's roughly 1,700 square feet. If you were to take $100 a square foot as a sort of baseline or finished layout, that, what is that? That's what is that, 170? Did I do my math right?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So, I mean, because all we need to add is now the additional partitions, some doors, probably put a better ceiling in there, or something akin to what COPA has. This particular plan shows a folding partition.
But Graham, you said the developed design of the whole building is 170 a square foot. The shell space is partially done already within the full project cost, right?
Right.
So that the additional to finish it would be something less than that.
Yes.
Okay.
I was saying rough, you know, it's like when I go in a raw space, you know, I start right around 100, go up or down from there.
Okay.
Depending on how much additional I have to do. I don't think there's a much more additional here because we have some floor, we have the walls. We've already tackled the windows on the exterior. So really, it's a lot more, some of this partitioning that has to happen here.
Okay, so I'm understanding a little better now what the difference is between the things that are on the chart, the original cost and these revisions. But I'm still having trouble understanding how we got from the $750,000 to the $1.1 or the original scope. The original scope, I guess the word original is confusing me, because original
right,
is not
yeah,
the original I'm
is.
Thinking of, which was the $750,000.
I guess original scope refers
so
to that floor plan that you saw that Graham went over as far as the space layout, the features included in this project, the windows, the mechanical system. It doesn't refer to, I guess, the pre-design project estimate that I did.
Yeah. So how did we get from that pre-design to this original that's listed here?
Okay. The pre-design was done early this year, and it was based initially on some of the information that we'd gotten from a preliminary building condition assessment that had been done, not by Holt, but by another firm. This was prior to us purchasing the building, so we were made aware of any deficiencies in the building before we purchased it. Also, it was based on COFA going in there, as I said originally, and also another tenant that would be going in there that would help offset some of the cost of the project. Also, once we hired Holt, they have a sub-consultant that does environmental engineering. So they did a further analysis of kind of any potential hazardous materials in the building, and they discovered that there was more in the building than that we had initially found just from a visual cursory inspection. And so my pre-design estimate was basically $20,000 to do abatement, which included really asbestos abatement. When they did a further analysis, there was more asbestos that was hidden under, basically they had to remove and do more in-depth analysis by destroying parts of the building, which we wouldn't do prior to owning the building. And also PCBs in the caulking, and also the lead paint, which initially was not required to be removed. The regulations changed earlier this year that required further abatement and treatment of those hazardous materials. So from the $20,000 that we had originally budgeted, it increased to $80,000, and that's the cost of the removal. Plus, we had to add in the cost of the design, the environmental design, and additional testing, which was $100,000 in just that aspect.
The testing was $100,000?
No, the total. Between the removal, design, and testing was $100,000. Then Graham talked about putting in the flexibility, the space flexibility, the cost of that being about $100,000 to $125,000, which was not in the original scope. The original scope, we were only designing the building for a single or two occupants, no flexibility for future use.
Possibly $140,000.
And then also the kind of, if you include the mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and some shell costs that were above what I had anticipated. When we did the further analysis with Holt's subconsultants, their mechanical, electrical, plumbing engineers, Erdman and Anthony, decided that did we replace all of the electrical system and also move it from one side, from the east side to the west side. So that increased the cost of the electrical. On the mechanical, I was slightly lower than what we have now. But I had looked at reusing some of the ductwork, replacing all the systems, the units, but reusing some of the ductwork. So that increased the cost there. Also, my original thought of the space was not as many windows, not knowing what the lead requirement would be as far as daylighting. So that increased in this version of the design. And that was about $180,000. So if you add the $100,000, the $120,000, $180,000, that's about $400,000 there that would account for in great measure for that difference in cost.
Thank you. So no one thing.
Right.
I had Dooley and then Pam.
I just want to ask you about alternates. On the right side of the page, on the pink blocks, mm-hmm. there are two things that say possible alternate.
Right.
And I'm having trouble reading.
The denser fencing.
Yes, I thought I saw the fencing in place on the diagrams you showed us. I thought that was added back. So that may be I'm misremembering it, but I thought that was part of what was going to have to happen. The other one that's the toilet rooms, you were,
right.
Arel, quite persuasive in how it's going to have to get done. If you don't do it, you have a pretty unpleasant room to work with. And we did not include that. But that's an alternate that I would like to see included, but it's not in the lower left list. So how do you get things into the lower left list?
Anybody can recommend that we do that.
Okay.
Or you could add more money into the base bid, and we'd include it that way.
The other thing, there was one other alternate that's not on here, but you articulated it, and you said you like the glass blocks.
Right.
And I don't see that anywhere here, and I don't see an estimate, so I don't know how to think about that.
Those were features that we removed early on as we were trying to value engineer the project. We're not opposed to putting it back in as possibly an alternate. The things you've mentioned before, the tile in the bathrooms, the glass block, are easy, what we call alternates, to put into the project. They're fairly easy for a contractor to estimate, and it doesn't require a lot of, you know, design work on the architect's part. So those are things that we would recommend as an alternate. You know, if the legislature wants to stick with the bottom line number, and these other additional items would push us over, that was one thing that we recommended, is add those as additional alternates to the list. And then on bid day, if the bids come in below this base number, either the $1,177,000, we have, you know, a certain amount of money that the legislature at that point could decide, well, we want to save that money, don't accept any alternates, or, you know, we want to use that to add back some of these alternates into the project. It gives us flexibility. And so I guess it's really up to the legislature what you – either you increase the base number or make recommendations to put back some of these potential reductions as future, you know, possible alternates.
Julie, between the additional alternates table and the three that we've identified in the main table, we have eight alternates. I caution against getting too many alternates into the bid. Then the contractors think you're not serious or you have a budget problem. I mean, we had to pick our best guess. What would be the priority? And try to rank them in the order of priority. I think we can achieve what we were trying to do with the glass block with lighting back in those, because those are sort of secondary corridors leading back to the support spaces along the alleyway wall. So, in terms of people spaces, it's mostly transient circulation vectors. That's why we thought maybe those weren't as important as some of the other things that are on the list.
Well, I might agree with that, but I don't know. I never saw a dollar figure, sure. So that's what I was asking. Is there a dollar figure?
I think I do have a line item. I just don't have that.
Okay.
You know. It's not a huge number. The other part of that consideration is future, whatever happens on the other property adjacent, does that cut off the light that's come through, so there's a little bit of an unknown there.
All right. I just want to say that I really like the ceiling treatment that's an alternate. And at the moment, that's listed as the second one in your left-hand column. Are those in order of your priority?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I haven't prioritized these. I think that's the way they were put down. I probably would prioritize them in a different order, but I would say no.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Pat. I got Pam and then Pat. Let me just say, at some point, Joe and or David are going to talk about the annual costs in the borrowing. You know, that's what we're talking about here. Pam.
Oh, well, I was sort of curious when you were talking about the difference in price, and one of the things that you mentioned was that with the possibility of the Human Services Coalition going in there, they paid us money. They paid us rent. And do we not get money for where does the money come? I mean, do we pay the rent for the Community Justice Center, too, if that went in there?
No, any county department doesn't pay rent. So our budget.
Right, but we pay the money for where they are. I mean, so in other words, it's not really a reduction that, you know, it comes out of our budget one way or the other, whether it's for the human, you know, we give the Human Services Coalition money for their rent and we pay for it. So I think that in that sense it's not. I was just sort of curious where that was coming from, and in fact, it just occurred to me that I didn't really know. So,
I mean, our facilities budget includes the operation and maintenance of our county buildings and all the county departments there. We don't get any rent from except for like Alcoholism Council, the Finger Lakes library system that pay rent. It doesn't go back directly into the facilities budget. It goes to the general fund. But currently, my understanding is that the legislature does provide funding to the Human Services Coalition.
Right.
And some of that is used for rent.
Right. So I mean, it's just the same. It's basically the same thing. It's a wash in terms of it's costing the county, whether it's the Human Services Coalition or whether it's the Community Justice Center, you know, in terms of.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
More or less.
But I guess what I the I guess the quality would be a slightly lesser quality of improvements in their space. I mean, for instance, the furnishings, I mean, the furnishings in that tenant would have been basically, they would have had to pay for a lot of their furnishings in that space.
Okay.
Whereas for Office of Aging, we would have provided all the furnishings. The phone system, the director of ITS had said that they would have to provide the phone service. So those costs weren't included in that co-tenant space.
Those are legitimate differences, yeah.
Okay. Pat, Jim, Brian, and then at some point, I think, we have to really trust some. The committee went through this a lot. I know everybody really wants to understand this, but it's, you know, we have a long meeting and a lot of other items. So, Pat, Jim, Brian, Kathy.
Thank you. I am still back on the bathrooms, and I'm not satisfied that this is going to be functionally adequate to meet the needs of some people who need accommodations for the use of the bathrooms. One thing that I would mention is the need for raised toilets. Have you considered that? Because that's definitely a need at times. So what I'm wondering is, I'm looking at the little rectangular shape that is probably the sink, and I don't know if that's the best location necessarily for someone using a wheelchair who has to transfer from a wheelchair onto the toilet. And I'm wondering if you would be willing to consult with someone from the Finger Lakes Independent Center on, and ask them to take a look at the design for the toilets in terms of accessibility and at the building in general to see if there are any other issues that pop up for them. Specifically, I'd suggest you talk to Larry Roberts over there and ask him to take a look at this, because I want to make sure that whatever we're doing in this building is going to be fully accessible to our clients that may need to use it. Is that something you could do?
We could. I mean, I'm confident in the abilities of HALT in designing those bathrooms to be fully accessible.
I understand that, and I don't intend this as any way in any way as any reflection on their competence, but simply that if you've never needed to use these accommodations, there may be things that you just don't think of, and that someone who uses accommodations all the time would be able to very quickly point out to say, oh, wait a minute, this isn't going to work very well like this.
Yeah, I think we could do that. I know we've approached them in the past on other projects. So that's something that we could work with HALT and them to look at the plan and see if they can offer any suggestions that may improve accessibility.
Okay. Thank you.
Jim?
Marta, at some point, maybe some... I believe this is under our committee, right? The budget committee, and
right.
I plan to ask Joe and John... and David, the current or the questions that you were talking about. One of the issues of the library is that it's actually a missed economic opportunity. It costs us roughly $85,000 a year to operate in the library for CJC, and you know clearly they're part of our family. So essentially, that's a cost we're paying every year to maintain that space. So that operation can take place in the bottom side of that. So,
thank you, Jim. Brian.
Thanks. bearing in mind that no matter what it is we do, we're here to line up bonding for it. This correct me if I'm wrong, is based on the COFA occupancy and design with the other space behind it, roughly 1,800 square feet. You said, give or take, $100 a square foot. Later, my question to you, and then I'm going to have a follow-up, but if you did it while you were there, assuming that CJC was going to be in there, I guess logic would tell me that because you're already there, that figure may go down some. Is that correct?
That's correct. The contractor wouldn't have to mobilize twice.
Right.
If there's going to be escalation between the time now and whenever that gets done.
Okay.
It just has two items.
Okay, great. So in that additional amount, $180,000, would have to be bonded or somehow paid for at a future time. I guess this gets us all back to the original questions that we had amongst ourselves in conversations, and that is, what ultimately is going in that space? And I'm aware that there, you know, the whole master plan, there's things that could be happening, that will be happening, might be happening. You know, we've had many discussions on the location of COFA. But now we're at the point where we are actually building something, and it would be cheaper to have concrete decisions as to exactly what's going in there rather than, for instance, putting COFA in there for the time being and building it for that and then having to come back and, for lack of a better term, retrofit it to CJC at a later time. That's yep. something for us. but to me, that's something that needs to be said. And
Joe, you
and
I
we'll
talked about this. Do you want to talk about phasing and how long it will take to... Can you address that briefly?
Well, I think we have to be mindful of the deadlines we're working against, and fortunately the state's been fairly flexible in those deadlines, but we do need to get COFA out of this building relatively quickly, and that's the deadline that we're up against. So even if you were to approve tonight, we're going to have, it'll be tricky to make it by July, let's say, which is the last approval we've gotten from the state. So we need to make haste with that move. With respect to what comes next, I think we've chosen to keep that fluid. I think we all know that the next logical thing might be Community Justice Center, but I think the agreement was when we decided to put together this flexible plan, let's hold that decision for a later day. So what these guys have done, I think, very creatively is to put together a plan that's very adaptable. The front end doesn't change much if CJC comes in. Really, those offices, you can, if you hold them up to the light, they really align well together, so there's mm-hmm. nothing that happens there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really only what happens in that back area that's an open shell right now. And you're right, if you could build out that shell today, there'd be an incremental savings, but it's not a huge amount of money, I don't think, that would be saved if we're just looking at the build out of that last 1,800 square feet of space there. So I think it kind of in the interest of time and meeting our deadlines and getting to a decision, our recommendation is to move forward with the plan that will get COFA in there by July or so, and then to take a little more time and figure out what is the next step here, knowing that we've got a very adaptable building plan that these guys have designed.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand we're in a tough spot.
Yeah.
I can just picture being a client of COFA and moving out of here and going over there, and then, you know, a year later you're over here and now you don't know where to go. It's tough. It really is. Not to mention the I'm sure that there would be additional construction costs just from having to come back. But okay. Thanks.
Okay. I have Kathy, Leslie, and Will.
Thank you. I've had the experience of serving on space needs location committees. I currently serve on the budget committee, and I've been serving on capital plan review committee. So I'm pretty well grounded in this. And as, in addition, as most of y'all know, I work at Cornell as an electrician. I've paid a lot of attention to this, not just because of those avocations and experiences, but from the perspective of a taxpayer. I remember back at the beginning of this story, well, it's not actually the beginning. When you think of the history of COFA and how it's been moved from pillar to post, and in more recent history, how the community actually mobilized itself to tell us what they want from COFA. They want COFA to be in a central, accessible location. They want COFA to have a home. We bought the building, the Carpet Bazaar building, for COFA. At the time, that was the decision. That's what we all were considering. That's what we did. And many people were delighted that we weren't going to be doing some more moving of COFA into a place that many people, members of our community, didn't see as commensurate with the image and the uses of COFA. Personally, when I look at downtown Ithaca, and particularly that area of downtown Ithaca that's so vibrant and got so much going for it right now in terms of revitalization and economic development, and I think about COFA being there, I think it's a great decision for us to have made. And I would like to see us stay the course with that decision. However, tonight, I think we're at a turning point. If we haven't already passed it, which I'd like for people to recognize that this decision is in our hands, and that is if we decide tonight to spend more money on trying to go with this dual usage, we're pretty much ensuring that COFA is going to be relocated away from what is surely to be a vibrant area that we could be proud to show as a showpiece of our community in a burgeoning demographic that is only going to increase. And I think of myself as a baby boomer, soon to be joining those ranks, if not already. Hey, I'm already a baby boomer. But not only will we be doing that, but in my opinion, we'll be throwing bad money after bad. And by that I mean, we're being told tonight that there's two decisions we have to make. And I have to tell y'all, as a Gemini, whenever I'm told that I have to do one thing or another, part of me is always saying, is that all? Isn't there a more creative way to look at this? We've either got to add money to this in order to accommodate the things that we want to, or we have to take things out. Well, I would like to say that I'm not sure that that's exactly the way it is. And the notion that if we have some extra money, y'all, there is no extra money. There is no extra money. I'm sure we're going to be told how if we just finance this, it's only $20 extra a month. Please, you know, they told us that when we were doing, well, when I was doing layaway as a kid. You don't save more when you spend more. You spend more, okay? So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking we've already spent a lot of money to try and fit two different uses in this so that CJC can be put in this later. Anybody that thinks that CJC isn't going to be put in this if we spend all this extra money on it is really deluding themselves. COFA will be removed to somewhere else, maybe even before they ever get in July. And CJC is going to go in there. So we're making that decision tonight. For myself, I just want to say that I think that that would be a shame for us to do that and for us to have been brought to this decision point with many of us not even being cognizant that that's where we were being brought is kind of sad. And, okay, maybe I'm the one that says things that, you know, elephants in the room and everything, but, you know, let's look at what we're doing. We've already spent a ton of extra money, and, you know, having that quantified, there's still some discussion about that. I contend that the mezzanine extra $15,000 is in there. There's other people that say that the extra trenching doesn't count because we're putting extra bathrooms anyway. Okay, we had a lot of discussion about this, certainly at CPR, and to a certain extent at budget. And I know that a lot of people have asked really good questions tonight. But what I want to say is that I think we could even forego some of the glass work and paint over some of the stuff so that it doesn't have to be abated. There's a lot of possible things we could do. We've already spent a lot of money. Holt and Rel and staff have done a terrific job, but if we want to say, yeah, let's go ahead and go in two directions, I'm of two minds tonight, we're going to throw more bad money after bad. And I would like for us to make a decision. And as you might imagine, the decision I would like for us to make is to say we bonded for $750,000. Let's keep COFA in there. And let's try to figure out smart ways that for $750,000, we can put COFA in there for now. because there is no extra money, and there's no reason to continue spending money in hopes of moving CJC in there, because that's really what's happening, is CJC is being driven into that downtown location that we bought for COFA.
I'm going to ask Ralph to talk about what the 750 figure would get us, and then I'm going to read from the resolution that's in your left-hand side of your packet that we passed in August. So, Ralph, 750?
When at Capital Plan Review Committee meeting, I think two meetings ago, maybe three, I was asked to go back and work with Hall to see if we could do a $750,000 option, what that would look like. And we determined very quickly that we could not provide space for COFA at $750,000. I think I explained the things that we have to get done in the building, the abatement and also the additional MEP work that was underestimated when I did the pre-design estimate. So to put COFA in there for $750,000, it would have to, I would look at it as a very temporary option. We would probably do very little on mechanical, put a substandard mechanical system, go to used furniture, no partitioning, basically be an open shelf space. It's not the standard that I would feel comfortable approving for putting in a county department. It's not an option that we further pursued because we knew very quickly that it wasn't anything that we could really do and meet the standards that we currently have for other county buildings and county departments. We were working to try to bring it to $1 million, and those potential reductions would bring us close to that number. Beyond that, I would not be supportive of doing a project at that amount with, as I said, very drastic impacts to both the program and the efficiency of the structure.
Okay, I've got a lot of people here. I want to. In your packet is the resolution and the resolve. The resolve to this, it's not that long, that this legislature directs the county administrator to prepare a plan for the renovation of HSA that is sufficiently multi-purpose and flexible to serve the needs of a variety of county departments. Resolve further that the renovated HSA initially be configured to house COFA and that COFA relocate to HSA. Resolve further that this legislature directs the county administrator to identify viable sites, structures, or developments that would provide suitable and more stable locations for the Community Justice Center and or COFA, allowing a decision regarding the longer-term utilization of the HSA to be considered in the context of such other alternatives, and to report monthly to the Capital Plan Review Committee regarding this process, his progress. Resolve further that once such a site or structure has been identified for either program, this legislature will make the completion of suitable facilities for COFA and the Community Justice Center its highest priority. I've got Leslin, Will, then I saw Carol and Pam. I saw another, Dooley. Peter came up before Pam and Dooley. So let me go. Leslin, Will, Carol, Peter, Dooley, Pam. So, yeah, okay, Leslin.
Thank you. Kathy, independently thinking, Kathy sort of pulled some of the words out of my mouth. Martha, although I appreciate the resolution, because that's what we did pass, so understand that. It was the best of what we had. Of the three or four resolutions that we had, that would have allowed us to move forward and find a space for COFA. So I just want to make sure that there's some clarification around that. There was fully temporary, there was moving some, the other, Justice Community Justice Center in and moving COFA someplace else. There are other options, and we felt that this was, for those of us who supported it, felt this was the best option for us to move forward at that point. But the decision-making began with us thinking that this was the space we were purchasing for the relocation of COFA. So I make sure that I understood that clearly that's where we were going. I, too, was feeling a little apprehensive with the dual designs. As a matter of fact, I started to ask earlier, like I couldn't follow it, but then I understood what was going on. But more on the other side of what I want to say is I want to support what Pat brought up, which is very, very important. I'm by no means an architect or a construction person or any of that, but I've been involved with enough projects where there have been lots of experts dealing with accessibility issues, dealing with family issues and needs, and what turns out is not what is practical and workable. They meet code, but they're not necessarily practical and workable and meet the needs of the people who really want to use it. So I do want to encourage, really encourage and support what Pat is asking for in reaching out to those in our community who will be using the facilities and who require accessibility, and not just the experts. Actually, they're the experts, to make sure that we are putting in designs that will work for people. That is extremely important. So thank you all for hearing that.
Will.
Thank you. Ditto. I would strongly support that. And though this is not the level of detail we are having, I hope that when we design furniture, we're doing carpeted flooring, maybe, according to the scheme. We'll avoid what we created in the Rice Conference Room with the slippery chairs that never will stay in one place. My question is for Harrell, and I apologize if you've already answered this, but it's been a long session. What is the cost differential of doing the duplicate design? How much more is that adding to the project in round figures?
A duplicate, well, that would be the kind of the flexible.
The multiple thing, as opposed to specifically designing only for.
We put it in the range of $100,000 to $125,000. I mean, and you could add other things into it, like the mezzanine, but we're in favor, facilities is in favor of putting the mezzanine versus putting it on the ground. So I think that's, if you added that back into that number, you'd increase that amount. It's in that range. It's not significant. I mean, the current, I guess, difference is about, at the $1.3 million is $550,000. So of that, say $125,000 of that would be for kind of the dual design for allowing flexibility of the space.
Thank you.
Of the whole project in the neighborhood of 10%. Carol.
Well, maybe I can subtract on the fly and get to the answer to my question, which is, so what would it cost to be just putting COFA in there now? I'll end there.
Well, we don't have enough in the 750.
I understand that. I'm asking what it would cost with the lead equivalent.
With lead?
We're doing the lead pieces. No, this is without the lead. Whatever. Okay. What would it cost to put COFA in there?
I guess I need to clarify it. Are you saying eliminating the flexibility of the space, regardless of whether it's CJC or anyone else in the future?
Yeah, waiting until we decide who's going in there and then spending that money.
Some of these things couldn't be done afterwards if they weren't put in. Cost would be really prohibitive
The important question that I had back in August when we were looking at, I was trying to get direction, is if COFA is going to remain there as a permanent occupant, that's one thing. But if you're saying that they may move out and anyone else can go in there, that's still designing for flexible use of the space. But if you're asking me the question, if COFA were to remain there in perpetuity as long as we want them there, then I guess I'd have a different response. We've designed systems in there that would accommodate the flexible use of the space, mechanical systems and such that would have the capacity, whether it be Community Justice Center or other department or programs go in there, would have the capacity to heat and cool that space. On mechanical systems, we've talked to the mechanical, electrical, plumbing engineers. When you design it, you're designing it for the load, the building load, not square footage. So the load is this room. You have, whatever the occupancy says on that placard, you design the system to
do enough air exchanges in the space based on the occupancy. If this room were just offices and you only had six people in it, you would have a much smaller load in air exchanges. So you have to design the mechanical system to be large enough to accommodate those air exchanges. So with CJC or other uses that could go in there that would have conference space, one option that we had discussed early on back when we were talking about COFA and possibly the Human Services Agency was also having a large conference room. Conference rooms require additional, sizing, larger sizing equipment. So all those things are part of that flexibility number. If you're telling us now that that space is only going to be offices, very little conference space or classroom space, which CJC has, then we could probably reduce the size of the mechanical system as well as the controls. The directive that I had was to design for flexible use and for the more intense use. And it could be CJC, it could be a large conference room space that could be used by the community or other departments. So I guess that question is harder to answer. I wouldn't say we would just remove $125,000 for that project. That's why I think from the beginning we wanted, if you're telling us design only for COFA, we could come back, or another particular agency, we could probably come back with a more refined number. At this point, whether it's $100,000 reduction,
it doesn't seem like this was that complicated a question that I'm asking. We voted at this legislature to put COFA in there and then to have the space in the back, the mechanicals big enough so that eventually we would be figuring out who we were renting to or what other uses we were going to use for that back space. So the mechanicals, are going to be big enough to handle something in addition to COFA. I understand that. But it would seem that it would be pretty basic to have a number for what it would cost to put COFA in there, reserving future use of the space.
The number would be the higher number, because otherwise we would design to very basic and then come in 5 years later and it's you come in with a more intense use program in there, we would have to then add additional mechanical systems to accommodate that.
We're not talking absolute precision here. We're talking about some order of magnitude. And what we've heard Graham say is that it's about, let's say, $125,000 a swing. So if we deducted $125,000 from both ends of the spectrum, from the $1.3 million and the $1.177 million, won't that give the legislature a sense of how much it would be approximately if it was only for COFA? And I know that you have to be precise, you're paid to be precise, but in terms of the order of magnitude,
right,
if that's the increment, the delta, is it fair to say that if it was just COFA, we'd probably have about $125,000 less in the budget?
Yeah, I think that's what the number we come up between. I mean, it's really plumbing fixtures, the pulling lines, things that are most cost intensive, jacking the slab for that. If you were to say we weren't going to do any of that, then I'd say, okay, then one of those toilet rooms that we've shown off the shelf space is gone, because that's a CJC requirement. So we just get rid of all that. We get rid of any of the plumbing back there. I was estimating at about $10,000 for each of those rooms. That's $30,000 right there. We were talking about the vestibule with another $40,000. Kathy mentioned the mezzanine at $15,000. If we weren't going to do any of those things, just sort of drive the wall where COFA is, I think we're in the range of around $100,000, somewhere right around there.
Less. We've got the number at the bottom here is 1.177. So, without that, you're talking about $1,077,000 or around there. If it were just for COFA, I got Peter, Pam, and Dooley.
I want you to remember all why we did this. This dual-use criterion on this is that we have two very serious problems. We don't have a home for COFA. I'm talking now a year ago. We don't have a home for COFA. We don't have a home for community justice. And the space that
Community Justice is now occupying is unacceptable. It's terrible space. And frankly, we have learned by experience that if you say, I want space for Community Justice, it's got certain criteria, for COFA has got another set of criteria, and it seems to me that it should be a basic principle of design that what we do is we make our space as flexible as possible because things change and our needs change. And it's important that we be able to use our space to serve programs that we can't predict in the future. I was pleased when I heard the answer 100 to 125,000. That sounded to me like not very much money to spend for this flexibility that we need. I'm sure if you went to Orel and you said, what's the absolute minimum that would be necessary to put COFA in this space so it's warm enough for them to in the wintertime and cool enough, and that's all, and nothing on the walls, nothing extra, no extra toilets, and this, that, and the other thing, maybe you could squeeze it down to more. But I think that's an irrelevant question. I think we deserve to have decent space for our people to work in. So I don't see why we can't just take that number and say that's the kind of thing we ought to be spending to build in flexibility for an uncertain future.
Sam, Dooley, and then Frank.
Well, actually, I don't have so much trouble with the amount of money. I think that you've explained that pretty well. What I have is what I think both Brian and Kathy were referring to it, and perhaps others did too. In terms of the kind of process that we've gone through here, I believe that we were buying that building for COFA, and then all of a sudden we started talking about the Community Justice Center, and I agree that they need a space, but we never made a decision that what we are doing at that building is putting COFA in there for a few years and then moving them out and moving Community Justice Center in there. And that is the assumption at the base of this, is that space will eventually be for the Community Justice Center. And I think that that's a decision the legislature needs to make. I don't think that's a decision that because we didn't make that decision. We made a decision to buy that building to put COFA in it and to make flexible space. I think it's good to make flexible space. I think that's cost effective to do that kind of thing. But what I object to is where this is going to end up, where the decision here is not to increase the amount of money. The decision here is that we are moving COFA in there for now. And we're going to move the Community Justice Center in there later. And maybe that's what we should do. I don't even know that. But I think that we have not had that discussion. We have not made that decision ourselves. And I think that's backwards. I think we have a responsibility to be looking at this future. And what I find troubling in this is that now, all of a sudden, I know we're under the gun because we've been having to move COFA out of there for a very long time, but this decision all of a sudden has to be made quickly. And I don't respond well in those situations. I think that these things are important, and I think they need the kind of care and discussion that we are having tonight. Because I think otherwise we end up spending our money unwisely and making not very good decisions.
I'm going to jump in, and then Dooley and Frank, and I don't know who else. We decided a year ago, as Arel pointed out today, as we started this, we decided a year ago to buy the building for COFA, because we can't just go buy a building just for, the heck of it. So that was the purpose. Things changed. We did more research. We identified the Capital Plan Review Committee spent months looking at our other problem, which was getting out of the old library. And things changed so that by August, we made a different decision. And Pam, all this does is not foreclose our options. It does not say COFA has to move. It simply doesn't say that. It says, as I read before, if we can find a place for CJC, then CJC will go there. Trust me, staff has been working on this, and the center of government, they haven't had time to do any other looking for the Justice Center. That doesn't mean that they won't. It just means they haven't had time to. All this does is keep our options open. It's not a decision. Dooley?
Yes, well, I was glad that it was asked quite a long time ago how $750,000 got up to $1.2 million. Carol asked that, it was explained. It's been asked a couple more times, and it's been explained a couple more times. You read the resolutions resolved, the previous one that directed staff to work with whoever became our architects to design flexible space. And it is very clear in that resolution, as you just pointed out, that we're not making a decision that COFA is going to go into a building and then COFA is going to move. I agree with what Pam says. We need this kind of discussion at the legislature level. I'm very glad we're having it tonight. We were originally going to have a presentation on the center of government, which this legislature also needs to have to hear. It's related to this, but this seems to be the more urgent thing at the moment. And I think we have enough information to come up with a dollar figure to have a project that will get COFA out of the courthouse as expeditiously as possible now, which seems to mean July of next year. And we really need to tell the architects to go forward with something. I thought the presentation tonight was quite clear, but I've heard it before, and so that's an extra thing for me to bring to this meeting. But people have asked really good questions. I'm concerned that in saying if you were going to subtract $100,000, $125,000 off, you subtract it off of $1.17 million. I think it has to come off of the subtotal, because what gets added to the subtotal is escalation, and that depends on what that subtotal is. Everything depends on what that subtotal was, because there's a formula for adding on to it. So I think what you were talking about was taking $125,000 off of the subtotal of $1.09 million. I'm not interested in doing that. I'm interested in actually talking about some of the alternates, which I think are going to have to get added no matter what. One of them is the fencing around the outside of the building. One of them would keep the solar panels on the roof a possibility. I think that's what that means, the solar thermal. I'm not sure, but I think that's what that is. No, I'm wrong. Tell me what it is.
Part of those numbers.
What is solar thermal?
That's, yeah.
That's the water?
Yeah, that's for domestic hot water.
That's the water.
Using
okay.
Photovoltaic panels.
That seems like an important thing to me, too, that we do that. You were so, as I mentioned earlier, so persuasive on the tiles for the toilet that I think that that makes much more sense to do initially, because instead of letting things get deteriorated and then having to go back in and do that. So I would like to add those things and the cloud ceiling into the subtotal that came out of CPR. But before making any motion, I want to understand what the 1.3 from budget was. I gather it had mostly to do with furnishings. And I don't know whether that is an important addition for us to consider tonight or not. And so I'd like to know more about what budget had in mind and or what Lisa had in mind. I heard Lisa at CPR, but I don't know about budget.
Do you want to address that, Jim?
Well, I think what we had in mind was the items on this sheet that we have here, even though we didn't have those items. We thought the 1.3 would include all the things on here. When the resolution comes forward, I'm going to suggest that it be 1.3. I've heard one person say that they want to do the rainbow colors in the left-hand side. I would make it 1.4 at that point, because I think that would include everything on the page, give us the opportunity to be flexible and barely cost us any more money in a 20-year time period.
Just clarity.
It wasn't just for furnishings.
No, it was all...
They didn't have...
$75,000 was the furnishing number.
They didn't have that level of detail, Dooley?
We didn't have the level that you have here.
But Dooley, basically, the 1.3 is the first column, and it included those reductions are in that 1.3. The items in the second column are what we backed out of the 1.3. So 1.3 includes everything that's shown along those operational impacts.
It was everything that CPR looked at, and then CPR adjusted it downward.
That's how you got
1.3, you mean is that 1.288?
Yeah, we rounded, 1.3.
1.3 includes the alternates, correct? In the left-hand box?
No, the 1.3 includes all items on the potential reductions, the second column.
Oh, but it doesn't include those additional alternates.
No, it does not.
So, yeah, that okay. My concern is that some of the reductions that happened at CPR make a lot of sense to me. And I want to leave them out, but some of the alternates that are at the bottom left, I would like to add in. And so I think it would come in at less than 1.3, and it would come in, I'm not sure at what, because I don't know how to apply the escalation factors.
It wouldn't be less than
1.3. All right,
it would be more than 1.3.
Be higher than that.
No, not if you accept the number of the reductions.
No, the box on the left, Julie, is not in the 1.3. All right, I'm concerned. I don't think a group of 15 of us, especially at this hour, can take one from column A, one from column B, and figure out, you know, to the decimal point what we're going to pay for a project. I think we have to, our design, our job is at a little bit higher level in terms of less detail. I've got Frank and then Mike and then Dave and then Brian.
Thanks, Martha. I want to back up a couple of steps. My recollection is that when we originally made a commitment to buy this building, it certainly was my intention that it be for COFA. The $750,000 that we plugged in was simply a placeholder. It was not a firm number. It was something that we knew it was going to cost something, and that was the best guess at the time. But we went into it with our eyes open that it was going to be probably more than that. But we needed to put something in the budget. I think Ed was doing capital budgets at that time. It was over the summer. We had a million things going on, and we needed something to stick in there at capital programs. We brought it back, and that's what this board approved as a placeholder. Guess what? It cost more once we started to refine what we were going to do with the building, and then we started adding things. I wasn't privy. I'm not on budget, so I'm not privy to what the discussion was there. But at the capital programs meeting, the special meeting we had a week ago tonight, as a matter of fact, we started to add some things back in. And most of them were, and Kathy was one of the proponents at that point, one of them was reminding us that this board had made a commitment to LEED certification. And we went down the list and identified, and I can't remember the number, I was looking for that paper from the other night, but there must have been 8 or 10 or 10 or 12 of that list that we identified as items that had LEED certification attached to them in some way. Solar was not on the list because we didn't agree to do the solar addition until well into this project. It was one of the buildings that was added on that other list of buildings that Joe presented a couple of weeks ago. Although we're interested in doing solar, it's not on this list right now. It wasn't, at least that last week. The items in the lower left-hand corner were items we had left that when we wanted to trim that number back to the 1.17. We went into this at Capital Programs. The number was 1,014, I think, and then we bumped it to 1,022, and then we started to add some things back in order to hit the LEED certification. In addition to that, we decided we would add the floor the raised platform at 15,000, if memory serves me right. And that began to make that number grow to 1.17 and change. And that's where we are with this resolution tonight. I don't think we made a commitment that the community justice system is definitely ever going to go in there. We even had a discussion about the sustainability center, if you remember, perhaps being an occupant. I think we talked about that at the planning committee once or twice because of Ed's efforts in trying to bring that whole project to fruition. Anybody that thinks that $125,000, whether we cut it out tonight or whatever, if anyone thinks that we're going to finish this back space of that building, I've forgotten what chart that was, if any one of us thinks that we're going into this and that space is going to be finished for $125,000, is kidding themselves. The items on this additional alternatives list is already over $80,000. And with the cost of what we're looking at, we're probably looking at, now I'm guessing, if we're not looking at $250,000 to finish that space, I'll buy you guys all an ice cream cone. How's that? Full. And Ed knows that I'll deliver, right, Ed? We did this twice before. So I think what we ought to do is, Kathy still has the card, right? I think, in my opinion, what we ought to do is approve the 1.17, going into it with our eyes open. It's certainly more than the 750,000, but I don't think that any one of us can kid ourselves and believe that we thought we were going to finish this building for $750,000. Some of us were reluctant at the beginning, if you remember several months ago, that number wasn't high enough. It's still not high enough. So, I mean, I'm the last person that wants to spend 20 cents when we can do it for 10. Do you want me to move this at 1.17?
No. We're not in the budget committee.
I thought I was getting a hand signal.
We have no resolution here.
Yeah.
Well,
this is the presentation.
Oh, this is the presentation. Oh, we're not even into the meeting
that's
yet.
Right, that's
oh,
right.
Gee whiz, I lost my head. Sorry.
No, wait, there's no question. Jim, as soon as we finish this, we'll go to the budget committee report and we'll do that. But
yeah, let me just, I think after the effort that the Capital Programs Committee put forward last week, we ought to, when it's the appropriate time, we ought to move the resolution forward for the 1.17, knowing full well that at some point we're going to come back for more money because we're going to need more money to finish the rest of that space, whether it's for community justice. Peter's right. We ought to remain flexible in what we're doing in the future. My attitude is I don't want to see Lisa operating with used equipment unless it's halfway decent stuff. We can go to the State Office of General Services and probably get stuff that's still in bubble wrap because they've got it stashed up there. But I don't think we ought to shortchange a department because we have not budgeted enough money. Sorry. I really...
Okay, so we could go higher. All right. I got Mike, Dave, Brian, Jim, and I'm getting a signal that we want to change the camera. So
change the tape. What do you want to do?
Is anybody going to take me up on my ice cream cone offer?
All right.
Yeah, Jim.
Let's try to do Mike. Can we do Mike, Dave, Brian, and Jim before break?
Not spoken because I thought everyone's questions needed to be answered, and I heard the presentation in the Capital Plan Review Committee. The one point that, and I know it's not hard and fast, Arel, that you made that stuck with me, was that you have tried to be, as I understand it, conservative with your estimates here. And we talked about having some of these added as alternates in the bid. And if, indeed, you turn out to have been right and these estimates are conservative, there could be some money in a project, even at the $1.17 million, left over if we wanted to spend it to do some of those other alternates. Is that correct?
Yes, that is our hope, yes. Based just historical on the last 2.5 years projects that we've gone out to bid for,
They've come in under the estimate. I think it's a sign of the economy. Contractors are hungry. We're getting very, you know, good bids. And so we've had extra money to either put back towards the project to accept alternates or to do change orders through the project. So, I mean, that's our hope that that these numbers are conservative, that bid day, that they'll come in lower than that, and then we could bring it back to the committee initially to see, do we want to accept some alternates or basically take that money back?
Thank you. I thought that was an important point to get out.
Okay, so let's take a break. We're going to change the cameras. We're not going to do this. I mean,
did anyone mention that Arel has 30 or 40 boxes of tile?
Okay. We're going to be in recess for 5 minutes. Please come back in 5 minutes. Thank you.